So this is number four.
I got a headband and my headphones holding this to my face.
Beautiful. This is a real legitimate setup we got going on here. This is our fourth recording for Asterixar, the podcast about everything you need to know about Pixar movies.
Everything.
And then some. Probably more than you need to know.
Probably way too much.
So this time we're talking about Monsters Incorporated,
mm-hmm.
a film about monsters.
Usually known as Monsters, Inc.
Monsters, Inc., yeah. Monsters, but I used to think it was Monsters like with an apostrophe. Like it was the Monsters Incorporated, which I guess makes no sense. But Monsters, comma, Inc.
It's not Monsters LLC. It's Monsters, Inc.
So I had to make fully it. Libel. So, yes.
That's it. No, I just... Sorry. I just want to apologize.
Starting off with the classic apology.
Yep.
So, just to set up the movie, it was released in 2001, and it stars... Among other people, Billy Crystal, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi.
My boy Steve Buscemi. Love him.
Yeah, he's great. Pretty tight cast on this one, I noted here. I can only think of three big name actors in it.
I mean, but I think that, I don't know, I feel like they hit it home with these three. I mean, they're most of the voices you hear in the movie, but they're like the most, I don't know, they all have very distinct voices as well, all three of them.
Yeah, really, the first things I was watching it, for the first time I watched this movie with my wife, actually, she just said,
"Why don't you brag about your wife, dick?" Yeah.
With my human wife. She said, Billy Crystal is a treasure, and he's underappreciated. That was the first thing she noted. And I have to agree with her.
Was that like a pun? Is Billy Crystal?
Oh, damn. Hmm? You saucy whore. I did not think of that.
Did you call me a saucy whore?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty loose tonight.
Yeah, we're...
We got to keep it loose. That was some of the other feedback we got on other podcasts, is we need to keep it looser.
Oh, we're too rigid?
Loosey-goosey, as I wrote here.
I mean, well, we're also kind of using an off-kilter communication method tonight.
Yeah, we're going sans video.
Yeah, so I can't see your beautiful face.
I know, it throws me off. Can't see deep into your big brown eyes. I don't even know what color your eyes are.
I think I hear the person next to me getting railed right now.
What? Oh, man. This is going to be a classic, I can tell.
Yeah, it's great. I actually don't ever want to meet them. All right.
This is somebody in the room with you?
No. Yes. Yeah. I'm actively watching someone right now. That's how I record everything.
No. Oh man. This is a roommate getting railed?
No, it's neighbors.
Oh, okay. Classic neighbor railing.
Yeah, everybody has that, I feel like, at one point. We've all been there. We've all been guilty of it, I'm sure, as well.
All right, so Monsters, yeah. Inc.
Is that loose enough?
They said keep it loose. Yeah, is that loose enough, you fucking critics out there?
The critics, yeah, too many. Also, I want to...
We're too tight.
I want to issue an apology to my brothers because I claimed in a former episode that I was really good at the Buzz Lightyear ride game laser thing, and I would like to admit publicly that I am not, because they always give me... a super, super broken ride, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I get the broken card every time, and that's why I lose. Otherwise, it would be great.
Are they keeping track of the scores?
Yeah, they give you the scores at the end of the ride.
No, but I mean your brothers, after all these years, have...
Well, yeah, because I always like threw a shit fit when I didn't win, and I never won. So, and I made us go back to the ride multiple times to try to win, and I lost every time anyway. So, that's life, I guess.
The life of having brothers.
Yeah, man. Go brothers, you know? I'm pro
Asshole brothers.
Brothers. Oh, well. Yeah.
Just no comment. Brothers are great. Yeah, no comment. Well, brothers probably like this movie, I can say that much.
This is a pretty great movie. I don't know how it has to do with brothers, but...
I'm working on my transitions.
That was an okay segue, I guess.
Segways, it's that's
the movies of brotherly love or something. I don't know.
Yeah, when it breaks it down, it really is a movie about two guys who are close enough to be considered brothers, even though they're two weird monsters.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't really seem like they had family in this. They all seemed very... They were all solo characters.
That's true. Not really any family, because even the little girls... got no family that give a shit about her for being gone for however many hours she was gone.
I wrote a lot about that, so we'll definitely get to that.
Yeah, another critique we got is to go a little bit more structure through the film, so we're going to try just keep it tight and chronological through the movie, scene by scene. But as we discovered taking our notes, we have a lot different definitions of what consists of a scene, what constitutes a scene.
Yeah, I have 17 scenes. I don't know how many you have.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I have 6.
Oh, 6. Yeah, that's similar.
It was a tight movie. It moved real quick.
Are we good to give our feelings about it?
Yeah, we can start right there. Get to your feelings about it right off the bat.
All right. I remember liking it as a kid, and I think I liked it more this time, to be honest.
I'm going to have to agree with you on that.
I can see that, yeah. I think... Go for it.
I was going to say, I feel like I don't remember it in the same light as some of the other movies, like Toy Story or... I even really remember Bug's Life, even though I may have contradicted that on the Bug's Life podcast. But
hey, don't kind of just forget yourself, about. Please.
Yeah, I just kind of forget about Monsters, Inc. But watching it again, I was like, "Damn, this is a good freaking movie."
Yeah, I already said I agree. I'm not going to reiterate it, but
you double agree.
Pretty solid.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's brisk. We've said that, I think, on every podcast. They're all brisk movies, but this one even more so. I should note, I guess, that it's the first one that John Lasseter didn't direct.
Yeah.
Directed by Pete Docter instead.
Pete Docter with an E. T-E-R.
Docter with an E.
Yeah, he's not a doctor.
He's not a doctor. He really should spell it that way just for the goofs.
Yeah, I mean...
Pete, if you're listening, change your name.
Yeah, fuck you, Pete. No, not really. This is a great movie. Thank you for doing this. You're a treasure.
Yeah.
Dr. Treasure.
Okay, making sure he's still alive. Yes, he's still alive.
Okay. He's definitely listening to this, I'm sure.
Definitely at some point you're going to listen to this.
To reflect on how great his life was and his great achievements of making this movie.
Yeah, he went on to direct a few, I think, down the line. But start off with a real bang. Real banger.
Bang, bang. Anywho.
Do you remember when you first saw it?
I don't. I was actually thinking about that a lot, but I don't. I think I watched it a lot, but I don't remember exactly the first time I saw it. I don't even think I saw it in theaters, to be honest. I think I saw it after it came out on video.
Yeah, I don't think I saw it in theaters either. I wonder if that's because it was released in 2001, November. Maybe we were still really sad from 9/11. It's very possible. Yes.
Except for you. I feel like you were very happy about 9/11.
If let's I not, remember. Let's not get that on tape. Let's not get that on tape.
I'm actually giving for my public speaking class, I'm doing a thing about the new, like the Freedom Tower. So it's very apropos to me, 9/11.
There you go.
I guess it's yeah. always apropos, really. Okay, it's got yeah, really sad really quick.
Yeah, it came out in 2001. Same year as Shrek. Should be noted. Not sure. It came in November 2001. I don't know when Shrek came out, to be honest. And I should have looked that up. But just give a little more context there.
Wait, Shrek came out? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, gotcha.
Shrek came out in 2001, yeah.
That's really strange to me.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, hey, doesn't it seem like Shrek came out afterwards?
It came out after this?
No, doesn't it seem like that?
I thought Shrek came out like in like 2007. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It came out like last year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's weird. I don't remember seeing Shrek in theaters or when it came out, so it's kind of like I don't think I've ever actually sat down and watched the entire movie, but yeah, it feels like it did not come out that long ago. But Pixar really flexing their nuts over DreamWorks, if that's the best crap they can put out of Shrek.
I mean, Shrek was a great movie. The second one was alright, and the third one, I don't know.
I'll contend that none of them are good movies.
Ooh, really? You don't like Shrek?
Nah, I don't really like Shrek.
You don't like Donkey.
No, like, yeah, the voice is annoying to me. And I just remember just being, like, just mostly fart jokes. And, I mean, fart jokes are great, but, like, not if that's all that there is.
It wasn't all fart jokes.
It was mostly fart jokes. Anyway, right. we don't have to talk about Shrek.
Sorry, I got a little distracted. I was taking a picture of myself.
Oh, that's useful.
Well, I want you to see the setup I have going.
Oh, okay, yeah, we'll put that on the website.
Yeah, man, I gotta show everyone what I look like.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta get your face out there for when this blows up.
It's not a great face, but it is a face.
It's most definitely a face.
All right.
So the other thing about Monsters, Inc. that I noted, and that I remember at the time too, is I feel like it kind of ushered in a retro revival in like cartoons, because like the intro is very retro and different, and it's kind of has like an old timey movie feel, like an old timey buddy travel movie almost, even though they don't really travel in it.
Yeah,
but like this, and then I think, I don't know if it was the next one or a few years after The Incredibles came out. That's like, you know, 1950s style.
Yeah, it doesn't. I feel like that takes place in like the 1950s, or like the beginning of it does at least. Or like it seems like, because I mean, they're basically just a rip off of like the Fantastic Four ish yeah. sort of thing. Yeah. So like, yeah, no, I know what you mean. It's, I'm assuming it's because the writers of it are from that era. So maybe that's kind of the influence they're pulling from.
True. Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely it.
I mean, Toy Story 2 also like retrofitted themselves to be like the dawn of time in the second one.
Yeah, that's true. They went all the way back to like black and white cartoons. But that movie still feels like way more modern, even though this movie takes place in a weird monster world. But
yeah. How do you feel about this world?
I like it. I like it, and I feel like it doesn't make sense a lot of the times, but I kind of like that about it. And I guess we'll get into it later, but like there's scenes where they're walking around and there's other monsters inhabiting their world that are just like, you know, 100 feet tall.
It's yeah. Like they don't...
doesn't really work.
That... well, I guess we'll get to that in a second. Do you want to... do you have anything else to go over real quick before we start the scene?
We can scene. Yeah, we just do, I guess, a quick synopsis just for whatever reason, just because I feel like I have to.
Okay.
But it's a story of two friends, Mike Wazowski.
How many?
Sully.
Two?
Dos. Yeah. Amigos. Yeah, they're monsters living in a monster world, and they generate their power by scaring kids and harvesting the screams to power whatever. That's their electric source, whatever. Yeah. Sully is the scarer. Mike Wazowski is his little dopey buddy.
Mike Wazowski.
He helps him out, and then they end up breaching the... There's a breach of the security when one of the little kids gets into the monster world, and then it's pretty much they just are trying to get her back home. It's a pretty tight, like, script, I feel like.
Yeah.
There's only a couple of things that really happen, and it jumps to the action pretty quickly. So, it's something we should be doing now, too.
Yeah, probably. Get around to it.
So let's start going scene by scene. So, of course, there's the introduction scene.
I liked that I wrote cool open. So that's a
The title.
Yeah, the title sequence.
Yeah, title sequence is great. Another kudos from my wife on that scene. She was like, "Oh, I like this," and then she proceeded to go back to playing on her cell phone. But that's fine.
Cool wife.
Yeah, I wrote great, but cool is another good word to describe it. And then they have the intro scene where they're kind of showing what the process of scaring the kids are.
Yeah, I wrote kids rue. I guess I meant room. And sim.
And what?
And sim, like simulation.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So they're simulating. It kind of does a fake out where you think it's a real kid.
Yeah.
And then the monster guy tries to scare him, he fucks it up, and then they reveal it's just a simulation to train some new monsters.
It was like built up super scary, like I liked that part, whatever, but like I feel like the monsters were too like I wrote our monster's magic, because he would like apparate at different places. Like it didn't make it like I don't know, like, because I like how they're making it practical, being like, oh, they're physically walking through here and scaring kids and stuff. Like, I think that's fun. But then but then they're making it like he could just go wherever the fuck he wants at any time. And it was more magical. I don't know. It got me a little bit. But then I also want to note that I wrote down, I love this voice cast. That's like three lines into my notes.
And before any of the main actors are even introduced.
Yeah, I just liked Water Noose, I guess. That was pretty much it.
Yeah, Water Noose is great.
Being the boss.
James Coburn is the voice on that guy. You may remember him from such films as The Magnificent Seven, which I just watched recently.
Like the original one, not the new one with like... with like Zac Efron or something. I don't know who's in it.
Yeah, Zac Efron.
Kid the Jonas Brothers.
One Direction.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the Jonas Brothers.
I think we nailed that pretty well.
Yeah, I guess that'd be seven, right? There's four Jonas Brothers.
Is there four?
Aren't there three?
I don't know. Yeah, I shouldn't know this, so that's good.
Nah, it's okay if you don't know that. So this scene is setting up to teach the audience, like, the whole thing we talked about where they have to scare kids to get scares, and they go pretty heavy on the exposition, but I mean it's kind of a weird concept, so I figured they kind of had to just flat out say what the movie was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, how else would you do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, well, just maybe it's chunky, but get it out of the way quickly and then you don't have to worry about it the rest of the movie pretty much. Next scene I got is the introduction of the heroes, Mike and Sully.
Yes. Sully Gets Up is the scene I named it. And then I wrote crank, I think. I can't read it.
Crank.
I don't know why I wrote crank. But I really enjoyed his loft. And you know that doll that they use later on, but it's like on his shelf?
Yeah, yeah.
I used to have, well, my little brother used to have it. And I remember the eye on the doll was like the hardest material on earth. It was like a dangerous doll.
That's really funny. I remember having dolls like that where it's like the eyeball would be made of steel.
Yeah. Made of like adamantium. And you, if you hit anyone with it, it was like the worst thing ever. It could break bones.
Yes, clear through.
I was wondering, actually, because the scene they were talking about, like the screaming and the stuff and how it's used to make the energy, obviously. But is this like a start to Pixar's like message about saving the environment and stuff? Because you know how like in WALL-E especially, they really like rail on like how you gotta save the environment and not be shitty and like get really fat and get on a big spaceship and go to space. You know, like.
Yeah, I mean, WALL-E definitely took it as like all the way to just flat out in your face.
Yeah.
With the message. But yeah, I guess this could be the start, because I don't think none of the other movies really tried to do anything like that. I mean, even in this one, it was pretty loose. Like, I guess you can make those connections to finding alternative power sources.
I just, the thing that, like, perplexes me about the whole concept is, how did they get to that point? I thought about it for a long time. I might have been using some sort of mind-altering substance. And I just, it really, like, perfunkled me for a very long time. I was just very, I sat in my room and just thought about it. Like, was there some monster stone age where they're in like bronze age and they're like, oh shit, there's these weird doors and then we can scare kids and put them in these tanks, but like there's so much background you have to have before you can do that, and they didn't have power ever before that. I don't know. I know it's a rabbit hole we probably shouldn't go down, but
no, that's exactly what we should do.
Also, I took a no-dose like a minute ago, and I'm feeling it now, so I'm really getting it going.
What'd you take?
A no-dose?
The hell's a no-dose?
You ever took a no-dose before?
It's like no-dose?
No-dose. N-O-D-O-Z.
No-dose.
It's like, a caffeine pill.
Oh, a caffeine pill. Oh, no-dose. I get it.
You know, Kanye raps about it. You know, all those empty bottles of no-dose. He says it in one of his songs. So.
Oh, I didn't know what no-dose was.
Yeah, you bought me that album, just, man.
I did. Yeah, it's a great album. I just did. I thought maybe it's just a slang for some drank or lean.
I think they would have the opposite effect. It would be yes dose.
Well, damn, I'm learning so much. No, I think you're correct in questioning the history of this monster world, because I honestly didn't even take a second to think about it. I just accepted it. Because
it's a pretty... That's you, man. That's you.
Yeah, I'm just I'm accepting of the world around me. I don't stop and question like you, which is what you should do. Kids out there, question everything.
Yeah, kids, listen to this podcast. That's really obscure. Please. Everything.
Take no-dose. You question everything.
Yes. Take no-dose, drink lean, listen to Kanye, everything.
Because, it's a pretty elaborate process of extracting this scares, but I don't know. Like, they figured it out.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we don't. We could just accept it and move on, I guess.
All right.
So I did write down, though. I did note, one more thing. I did note, like, I write right here, what a concept, exclamation point.
Really proud of them. What a concept.
It's just a really good way to, make a movie about the monster in your closet. You know, like another just thing that kids think about.
It's pretty ubiquitous, I feel like, amongst every child, that something horrible is always behind your closet door or under your bed. So
yeah, I mean, they're just keeping up the their core concept of like the things that kids think about, and then they make the movie and kids see it and they're like, holy shit, this is me. How do they know?
That happened to me yesterday.
I will say so that we're roaring through this movie. The Mike and Sully intro, part of it, they start watching a commercial for Monsters Incorporated that they're featured in.
Yeah.
And then the logo appears right over Mike Wazowski's face. Classic joke.
Yeah. And that gag carries on later on, too.
Yeah, they bring that gag back a couple times, but I had that exact thing happen to me once.
Really?
Yeah, I was at a football game. I think one of the ESPN like college football highlight, whatever things they do, where they're in at the actual stadium, right outside.
Yeah.
And I was hooping and hollering, so they took the camera, and I was like in the front row.
Yeah.
And they got it on me, and I was like, yes, I'm gonna be on TV. And then I guess someone had recorded it, and I watched it later, and like they get on me for like a split second, and then it like pans out. And a big Tostitos symbol goes right over my face. So the rest of the shot is like, I think I was there with my sister and my brother-in-law, and like they're having fun, and then they can't even see me anymore.
Well, I'm glad it's a real thing that happens to people. I mean, that's not just made up for this movie.
It's a serious issue.
Kind of like we share, you know, the experiences from this movie, the movie shared experiences from our lives as well. So
yeah, we're great. Not so different from these monsters. Mm-hmm. Maybe we're the monsters.
We're all monsters.
So we're introduced to Mike and Sully.
He like wakes them up, and it shows like the camaraderie, and like I guess they're roommates. I mean, they never don't live together in the movie. Like, he never goes to their house. They always go to one house, I'm assuming. And not a house, it's like a loft.
Yeah. Even though Mike has a girlfriend.
Sort of. I feel like they just started dating, but then it also makes it sound like he's like gonna propose. I don't know. Like, I can't get a good read on that.
Yeah, because he takes her out to dinner. I thought it was an anniversary dinner.
It seemed really serious, but then it was like, not, I don't know. And then she's like, I don't know. It's really confusing. I guess it was intentionally ambiguous because kids don't care.
Right. Yeah. Kids just know people do date, I guess, or whatever. Yeah. It's monsters.
Well, okay. So they go to work, I guess. Mm-hmm. We're at that point. There's some good, like, work. I don't know, they walk in, the Monsters, Inc. facility is, like, bigger than the entire city.
Yeah.
Also, they have a paper, like a newspaper. At some point, I read The Glob is on it, Centaur's Secret Diary, Troll Attacks Photographer. I thought it was good.
Yeah, it's great. I love, you're really good at catching those.
What I don't... Well, then they... Well, the girlfriend, we should say, also confused me because she has a head full of snake hair. She's like a Medusa, mm-hmm. Gorgon mm-hmm. person. But I never understand... Do snakes have their own minds? Because it seems like they kind of do. And she talks to them directly. But that's just so... But that's part of her body, too?
Yeah, because at some point, I think later in the film, she says something about getting a haircut. And all the snakes, like, freak out.
like she's going to murder her head.
Yeah, she's going to, like, cut their heads off, I guess, and then they regenerate, like, hair grows.
Yeah, that's... Maybe they're, like, hydras. Maybe, like, three will grow out in the place. You cut the head off. I don't know, that's... Maybe I'm focusing on the wrong things. That really bugged me, too.
No, you're focused on exactly what this podcast is about. The small... details that don't matter.
Ooh, another title from the paper was baby born with five heads, parents thrilled.
I did, yeah, I saw that one. Which I guess that's some kid, I guess that's better, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the more heads the better, man. That's,
yeah, five heads is better than four, as they say.
And then we get introduced to Randall.
Randall, that's, great, that's bad guy.
He is like omnipotent. I don't know why he should. By all means, he should win.
Yeah, he's pretty powerful because he can. He's a chameleon, pretty much.
Yeah, he can disappear, which he does like every 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why he doesn't do it all. Like, if I was a chameleon, man, I would do that every 5 seconds. It'd be insane.
Yeah, and they introduce him by having his little helper buddy like throw up a bunch of sheets, and he does his chameleon trick to match the background.
Yeah,
but you can still kind of see him there. But later in the movie, like, he's completely invisible.
Yeah, like there's zero ways to locate where he is, which I don't know how chameleons work, but I feel like that's not how it works.
Yeah, I know little about chameleons. But I imagine you can still pick them out if they're standing in front of you.
It reminded me of that car from James Bond, where like it has all the cameras to like make it so you can't see it.
Mm.
But I don't think his body has a bunch of cameras in it. Probably not.
Yeah, we don't think. We don't think. But
I mean, it's we'll a have monster.
To do more research.
Could be a camera monster. I don't know.
He's a monster, and this is the intro to kind of the process of scaring the scene now, because they're at work.
Yeah.
They have the little spoof of whatever astronaut movie. Armageddon. They're all walking in. Armageddon, okay, thank you.
Which Steve Buscemi was in, and I noted, I wish John Goodman was the head astronaut in Armageddon.
Yeah, if it was, then I would have actually wanted to watch that movie.
Right. Okay, well, that's argument for a different day.
Once we get done with all these Pixar movies, we can branch out
to just movies we wish John Goodman was in.
But that prompted me, because it kind of introduces all the scarers.
Yeah,
and that prompted me to kind of take note of which ones I thought were actually scary. Most of them are not, I would say.
They're just goofy, more or less.
They're mostly goofy. I mean, obviously, they don't want to make like some horrible monster that freaks kids out. But one in particular that I think his name is it like George Anderson? He's like the orange fluffy one that keeps getting the socks on him.
Yeah, he's like the comic relief.
Yeah, he's not scary at all.
He's just like the big oaf who keeps, through no fault of his own, getting like burned to death alive by like their version of the CDC.
Yeah,
this, what is it, the CDA, the
child detection agency?
Yeah.
I will say Randall is pretty scary.
Randall is pretty scary because he's like swarmy and slimy and like just this terrible, like you could tell he's evil because he just acts, because it's Steve Buscemi and he just seems like an asshole. Not that Steve Buscemi is, but well, maybe. No. I don't know.
He's not an asshole, and to bring him back full circle, on 9/11, he volunteered as a fireman, because he used to be a fireman.
That's, okay, a fact, man. That, still harping on 9/11 over here, but okay.
The other scary one, he doesn't really have a name, I don't think, but he's just like a big purple thing with like huge arms, and he's got like a million eyeballs.
Yeah, and they like put more in.
Yeah, most of them are fake eyeballs, but that thing was scary because he had no mouth too.
Yeah, and not
no
being
mouth
able to talk,
is scary.
That's a real scary thing when you don't have a voice.
Exactly. I don't really remember. There's the spiky guy who's kind of like a blob with spikes in him. He was okay.
Let's see. Oh, and then yeah, they lower the doors in. They hook him in. It's actually a really cool like process. They set up. You open the doors, you go in, do a little routine, scare the kids, fill up some tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as we find out, Sully is like the number one scarer ever. And Randall is so jealous.
Boy, is he jealous.
He is just fuming. And he...
Because he's number two.
Yeah, he's number two. It seems like Sully's been around there forever and is just doing a good job. And he's just been around there for like 5 minutes and is just pissed that he can't be number one. And
yeah, like... Oh, keep going.
I was going to say... Well, I was going to talk about Mr. Water News or Commissioner, whatever his name is.
The commission. Yeah, Water News, he's there too, like, supporting Sully and...
He like said,
ignoring Randall, I think.
Well, he's like the guy, he's like the CEO, but he also taught him how to scare, which is whatever. And he is a really, he's like the most scary person, I think, of the whole.
Yeah, he's pretty messed up. He's like got crab legs.
Yeah, he's like that, like, he reminds me of that, the baby thing from Toy Story, like with the legs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But way scarier.
Yeah. And then they have like monster versions of everything. And what really grossed me out is he like gets coffee, but it's just like muck. It's like shit.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote down monster coffee equals cat diarrhea. Yeah, that really grossed me out. I did not like that. But another one of those things that's just kind of like, you know, doesn't make sense in like a real world, but it's just, it's a good good thing to kind of expand the monster world and kind of just, you know, good goof in there.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about, like, it doesn't all make sense, but like they stick to the theme pretty well. They like also, later on, I think like right after the scene there in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And, Mike Wazowski asked for odorant instead of deodorant.
I thought that was good, yeah.
That was a good one. Because then, like,
he also talks about taking his girlfriend to a monster truck rally, which I thought was good, too.
Oh, that's right, yeah, yeah. So where do we go from here? So they do the scares. They teach you how to scare.
And then they ran into a reoccurring character who's Roz, who is... the weird old lady who cares about paperwork, but they never really, her lines bother me because 90% of what she says is the words paperwork, and she doesn't like expound on any of that. She just goes, paperwork, you don't give me my paperwork, Mike Wazowski.
When you gonna do your paperwork?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I've been waiting for this paperwork for all paperwork night. And she just
paperwork.
But like, there's no, like, they're getting the scare. What are they, like, I don't understand what paperwork could be involved in it, like case studies on the kids, on how much you're affecting them, how fucked up they are later in life for being scared so much. And then you find out they're assigned certain kids, like, so you're a reoccurring like nightmare to them.
Yeah, which I thought that was kind of clever, because, like, kids do see, like, the same kind of monsters, I imagine. I don't remember what monsters I saw when I was a kid.
Mike Wazowski.
Yeah, definitely Mike Wazowski. Do you remember any particular monsters from your youth?
I remember... I saw... Let's see... I used to hear monsters. Well, I wouldn't call them monsters. I was a ghost kind of guy.
Ghost kind of guy, yeah.
I think I heard monsters, ghosts, monsters, whatever, gonsters. I heard them turning on and off the faucets in my bathroom.
Ooh. That's definitely ghosts.
Yeah. I do remember my brother, my older brother, in our family lore, he was very scared. There was this like white outline of a caveman that used to chase him around. with a club.
In his dreams, or like,
I mean, for what he explained, it was reality. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, I'm sure cavemen had ghosts, and they're probably very confused.
That's true.
I mean, where are they going? Yeah. You never hear about those. You hear about like Civil War ghosts and stuff, and like, I don't know, medieval ghosts. But you never hear about caveman ghosts. I mean, they have to be there.
Yeah, no caveman ghosts, and not really many like Native American ghosts.
Well,
or unless, yeah, like you... wherever, but before that, I guess it would be Neanderthals or whatever. I don't know. But that was in Europe, right? I don't know history. Don't ask me that.
Or like dinosaur ghosts, which lived with humans.
It's true.
It is true. I heard that somewhere.
That's a fact. I saw it in a museum.
Yes. A very good museum. Very close to me, in fact.
Yeah, in Florida, the champion of education.
Yes. We're only 47, I'm pretty sure. In states, not 47 in the... I don't know what else that would be. But definitely not 47 in the world, I can tell you that much. Anyway, scathing anyway. Of the education system.
So these monsters, like you said, are assigned to humans. Mm-hmm. And then this is when we get introduced to the main human, right?
Yes.
So
the kid who is also magical, who can appear and reappear anywhere they want.
Yeah, she's way more magical than any of the monsters, actually.
Yeah, I guess.
Or she's like super speed.
We should also note that there's no way she's that speedy. Come on, she's a child. She barely can walk. We should also note that they're taught. There's like this propaganda in the monster world that kids and all their like stuff is toxic and terrible, and they're like the deadliest monsters on Earth.
Yeah, which is. So, yeah, you can't touch kids or anything that kids have touched, I guess.
Yeah.
But it is weird that then they go into their room without any protection.
Yeah, we're supposed to get in, get out, and... Yeah, but I don't know how... I get why they did that, because it's like a series of... It's like, you know, checks and balances to make sure that they don't find out the truth about what they're doing to the kids, because they think mm-hmm. these terrible monsters... It's kind of like on a Thousand Ways to Die when they like explain how shitty the person is who's about to die is, and then they kill them off, and you don't feel bad about it. They're terrible.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I didn't think of that. I kind of just thought of it as just a way. Well, actually, again, I didn't really think about it enough. It doesn't prove I didn't think enough when I was watching this movie. I was just lost in the glory.
It is a lot of glory.
Yeah, one of the best parts is the human character, which they name Boo. Boo. So freaking cute.
And she seems like... I can't place where she's from in the world, because they also have like some random worldly children later on.
Yeah, they... Well, that brings up another point, too. So when they're doing the scaring, they note that they're focusing on the eastern seaboard of America.
Yeah.
But that made me confused, because wouldn't there have been another... I guess after that would be what the... It'd be, I guess, the Atlantic Ocean is the area. Because they take, like, a break, you know? They do their scaring, and then they're done, and no other new scarers come in. But I'm guessing it's on, like, a rotation system, right?
Yeah, and they also go into, like, some logistics about, like they're running out of scares, like, kids aren't scared about stuff anymore, and, which also bugged me, because how would you find that out? Could you find that out by, like, kids being like, oh, shit, a monster, well, not that scared, like, I don't know, like, that doesn't, I don't know. I don't know if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, they had the propaganda film where they talk about how it's harder to scare kids now, and I guess they kind of, they're their reasoning was that kids are staying up late, I guess. Maybe they're exposed to more things.
Yeah, you're playing violent video games and shit, you know?
Yeah, but I feel like no matter what you expose a kid to, if a real-life monster walks into the room, they're going to freak out.
Yeah, if you see a being from another dimension, yeah, you're going to freak out, no matter who you are. You can scare adults. I don't know why they don't do that.
Yeah, it's true. You just get particularly loud adults and make them scream.
That's another thing. The kid gets out. That's what happens.
Kid gets out. Sneaks out. Magically.
And then, because Randall's trying to, like, sneak a couple extra scares in, you know, some after hours. And then... and then he also goes invisible, like, a million times during this and doesn't find out that Sully was the one who let the kid out or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. He just kind of walks away.
Yeah. And then they... kidnaps her and brings her outside of the office and goes to see Mike, who's on his anniversary/first date with with the girl.
Yeah.
And at a very racially insensitive version of a sushi restaurant.
Yeah, and another thing, earlier they have like a racist Italian monster.
Yeah.
Or just a stereotypical thing. It's like, hey, Mike, what's up? What's so mad at you?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that. You shouldn't be a fan of that either. You should take that personally.
I was offended.
Then, through a bunch of hijinks, the town's getting, like, raided from the CDA, like, insanely.
And yeah, he brings Boo, and then she gets out, and I guess another monster sees her as a human. Oh yeah, that's right. She says Boo to the crowd.
Yeah,
and that's what prompts her name too.
When all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, but they escape,
and then the kid, they bring her back to the loft for God knows why, and they're hanging out, and then. Mike injures himself over and over again, and she laughs, which surges the power, like, in the whole city, which is when they discover that human laughter is super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
yeah.
It's one of those other things that really bother me, because I don't know how that would work. Because it's not like here, for example, if you, in Earth, if you just had, like, a bunch of electricity, like, in a bottle or something, you opened it, I don't know, that doesn't make any sense. I don't getting it.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean, though? Like, if you had a great amount of electricity, it wouldn't just burst everything.
Yeah, because you imagine there has to be some process of, like, refining the screams to make it actual into usable electricity, but she's just laughing, and all the lights, like, explode or something.
And then, they're talking about how to escape, and I like this line. I don't know if you remember it. There, Mike is talking about ways to escape, and he says, hot air balloon, too expensive. Giant catapult, too conspicuous. Wooden horse, too Greek. Oh, that was really good.
I didn't even notice that. That was when they were in the apartment?
Yeah.
They're thinking of how to try and get her back.
Yeah.
They bring Boo back, and she's laughing. They're kind of sweet to her and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really sad just to think of Boo getting scared. Because she is so sweet. Like, all the other kids they showed were kind of like goobers.
Yeah.
Like, she was so sweet. So cute, so sweet.
She also...
really good job.
She was speaking, like, broken English, but so were... they were speaking English as well, so I guess monster and human English is the same.
It's true.
But you're right. I don't want her to get hurt at all. Or throw in a catapult, or whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah, none of those things.
Or probably, like, flamethrower her, like they... like the government wanted to do.
This is also the first time that I think they mention monsters can get banished, which will come up later, but it's an interesting concept, because I think that doesn't that scene he mentions some of the other banished monsters, like the Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot and stuff like that.
Bigfoot and the Abominable Snowman.
Right, which was, I thought, pretty really clever. It's like, okay, so those are real monsters, and only a few of them, I guess, have gotten banished throughout the years. That's why we only have, like, a handful of monsters in human lore.
Which I think is really cool.
I guess there's more than a handful, but I guess American lore, there's only a handful.
I mean, they... Well, Loch Ness Monster is an American, bro.
Well, that's true. I guess neither is the Abominable Snowman.
Yeah, and then Bigfoot. They kept on making comments about Bigfoot, like, I guess how he exposed himself to people. I guess it was like that sort of...
Whoa. That's why he was banished.
Yeah, he was exposed himself to too many people. I didn't write it down, but they were saying something about him. Whatever, I'm going to move past it. But they were ragging on Bigfoot, and I don't appreciate it.
You took that as a slight?
I'm a Bigfoot advocate.
You're a big Bigfoot, a big Bigfoot guy.
Oh God, yeah, I guess so. More of a skunk ape guy.
Skunk ape.
Did you know I almost got attacked by a skunk ape? Did I always hear that story?
No. What are you talking about?
The skunk ape. It's like the Florida version of Bigfoot. And we set a trap for him one time. We were camping, and we were in the tent, and we heard this giant thing, like, just like, it sounded like a train. It was like running right towards our tent. It was this enormous thing, and then it got really close, and it all of a sudden the sound just stopped.
Jesus.
And then we heard it like speed off in another direction. Swear to God, it happened.
Wait, you set a trap? What was your trap? I need to know.
Well, I made somebody who just got off work drive out with a shovel, because we didn't have a shovel, and we dug a pit, and we carved up some, like, palm tree, like, palm frond things, and we carved them down the spikes, and then we put palm fronds over it, and we put a bunch of, like, marshmallows in it, and it's not any good food, and we're gonna... So you're
trying to kill the skunk ape.
I mean, I figured it was big enough, it probably just hurt him. That, or we catch like a wild boar, because there's a lot of those out there, you know. I don't know, or somebody. I don't know. Either way, it'd be cool.
Yeah, catching anything would be cool. And then, did you realize that you were camped right next to a train tracks? That's why I sounded like a train.
No, we were not camped next to train tracks. We were camped next to the skunk ape's house, and he came out and he almost attacked us, and then he didn't. And we sat there in fear for probably 30 minutes until we got outside, and then nothing was there.
Damn. Were the marshmallows gone?
No, it wasn't like Santa. He didn't eat the marshmallows and drink the milk. He just ran away. Santa, another monster, probably.
What happened? What another monster did what?
Isn't Santa a monster?
Yeah, I guess technically. Maybe. I don't know what the definition would be. Some kind of mythical creature.
Yeah. Him and like Marco Polo and Charles Darwin, all monsters.
We gotta start setting Santa traps this year. It's with palm fronds.
I've always wanted to
catch
do that,
that like, fucker.
You know, you like put branches over a hole. I thought that's like in every cartoon ever, and we finally did it, and I was so happy.
Yeah, that is great. I would have enjoyed that also.
All right, so where were we?
So at this point, they are moving forward with their plan of getting Boo back into her door.
That's right.
They go back to the Monsters, Inc.
Which is on lockdown.
Which is on lockdown because of the CDA. But this is really what I love about this movie is it's so quick. There's not like too many scenery changes. Like they're in the Monsters, Inc. or they're in the apartment. And they're back at the apartment. It's like, I should have noted the time, but it was maybe like 20 minutes in.
Yeah.
And it's already like, feels like the start of the climax. So this movie gives you a long climax is what I'm saying.
Yeah, besides that last comment, I agree. it definitely doesn't lag anywhere. Like, everything has a purpose. It doesn't take long to move the story along.
Mm-hmm. But even more so than I feel like the other ones do. This one's already at the end goal, 20 minutes in.
I mean, no time to be wasted.
No time to waste.
Screams.
That's exactly what we're doing now. So they're back at Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
And I wrote a good line down here, but you can say what you were going to say.
Oh, no. Go for it. I was going to jump ahead of that, but...
Yeah, I don't know how far I'm jumping ahead, but they get Boo back there. They sneak her in as dressed up as a monster, kind of.
Yeah.
And then she at some point has to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Am I jumping too far? Did you have something to say before that?
Yeah. So I was gonna Well, they also they keep gesturing and talking to Boo, and she's making it very clear she understands what they're saying. Like, they communicate so well, which I guess you need it for the plot to move along, but that also, and it's just strange to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't quite tell how old she was supposed to be.
Maybe I hated this movie. I don't know.
No. that happens when you talk about it sometimes.
But yeah, they're in the bathroom, and then that's when they're, building their, little, when he starts caring about her.
Yeah, he starts caring about her because they've got her and she has to go pee, and so Mike says to bring her to the bathroom, and Sully says he can't because it's the men's room.
Yeah,
and the best line is Mike coming back to him is just like, "That's the weirdest thing you've ever said."
Oh yeah, I also wrote down, how did they know that it was a girl? Because I mean, they're monsters.
It's true.
That seem genderless.
That's true. They're monsters, and you don't really see two of the same monster anywhere, so it's gender seems like something totally different to them.
This movie's pretty progressive, man.
But I guess they study kids a lot.
Yeah, it's true. They're very obsessed with children.
Yeah, they're kind of creepily obsessed.
Yeah, now that I think about it. I wrote down Germany. I don't know why I wrote that.
This is fun. Just read your incoherent notes we take.
I wrote, has there ever. That doesn't mean anything.
Has there ever been a Germany?
Yeah, what is Germany? But then Randall comes in, searching for the kid, and then he does that thing that do in bathroom scenes where they punch all the doors in. But then they get to his, and they punch it in, but he's yelling at his, cohort instead of looking in the stall, which is funny.
Yeah, classic bit.
Yeah.
There's also in that scene, too, Boo escaping from Sully and using her magic powers.
Yeah. I also wrote, why isn't Randall invisible all the time?
Yeah.
Well, then the movie takes a really, really dark turn all of a sudden.
Yeah. Wait, which part?
The secret tunnel.
Yeah, there's a secret tunnel where Randall is created a device that manually extracts screams from, I guess, kids is the idea.
Yeah.
But it's really fucked up.
Yeah, it's like...
But efficient.
But I don't understand. It's just like a vacuum you put on someone's mouth. I don't see how it would pull screams out of you. I guess I would go more into the science of what a scream is that actually translates to power, I guess.
Maybe that's why you wrote Germany, because his system was efficient but horrifying.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Also, how did he build this lair without anyone noticing? It's just in the building.
Yeah, it's in the building in a secret door that... how do you build a secret door?
Yeah.
Within the the most locked down building in the entire city. So they kind of set the trap for Randall. He's going back to pick up Boo. They get back to Boo's door.
Yeah.
And then they do put a little switcheroo, and Randall is in there and accidentally grabs Mike. Oh, no, 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 sorry. So Mike goes into the door because Boo is too scared to. He's like, hey, there's no problem here. And then Randall jumps out of nowhere and captures Mike. But my note is, how the hell is he going to confuse this guy that he hangs out with every day?
Yeah, I don't know. And then he also...
2-year-old kid.
He also calls the kid fat at some point because it's Mike. But, like, I don't know. I thought that was kind of rough for to throw a fat joke on a kid. I don't know.
He's body shaming a child.
Yeah. And then they have... Well, then you find out that that Mr. Waternoose has been in on it the whole time. Because he needs those screams. We're out of power. What are we going to do? It's so rare now.
We need that power. Yeah, he's in on it, and he supports this scare machine. This scream machine, I guess, whatever you call it.
He's pro scream machine, for sure.
So maybe, I guess maybe he knew about it, and he gave Randall the okay.
That's what I thought, but then he kind of seemed, like, surprised about it. Like, he seemed like he was pro, like, just, I don't want to see it, sort of thing.
Right. Something like that.
And then they pull out the door. Oh, shit. It's their secret banishment door.
Yeah, so Sully and Mike think that they're exposing this truth to Waternoose about Randall's scream machine, but it turns out Waternoose knew about it, so he pulls a switcheroo on them and ends up banishing them through the banishment classic door.
Double switcheroo.
Yeah. And the door... This was my question. The door that they put them through makes them wind up in the Himalayas.
Yeah.
So my question was, are there multiple doors for banishment? Or else, like, how did the Nessie get to, you know, Lake Loch Ness?
Walked from Mount Everest.
Pretty far.
That's a good point, because how do they keep that door just, it's just a door that's standing up by itself in the middle of the Himalaya Mountains?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I wrote that too. So if we ever get to the middle of the Himalayas, we'll just find a door frame.
Yeah, I guess.
Or a door. It's a full door.
That just goes nowhere.
But it has to be on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Mike and Sully are banished. Yeah. They're in the Himalayas.
And they run into the coolest dude ever.
Pun intended.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The indomitable snowman.
Who was voiced by the same guy, Ratzenberger, who did Ham.
Did Ham. He did Flea. He's in every...
He's just the guy.
I mean, he's got a wonderful voice.
He does. It's a very good voice, I guess.
So they meet up with him, and at this point, Mike and Sully are having a tiff. Because Mike kind of quickly just gives up. He's like, alright, I guess we're banished.
Yeah.
And I wrote down here, Mike is kind of a bitch.
He is kind of a bitch. He also puts socks on his horns as if his horns are cold.
Yeah, he's got socks on his horns and, like, oven mitts on all of his appendages.
And then the Abominable Snowman is trying to say how it's not that bad, and they have, like, the yellow snow joke that they make, the snow cones, and then he talks about it's not that bad. You can always drink yak milk. Just don't mind the hair. Is that true? Like, it really, because I don't think, because that would mean that it's like, ugh, it's just.
Yeah, I mean, is he drinking straight from the yak, maybe?
But then, like, that means you're not doing very good. Like, I mean, I'm no, like, farmer, but I feel like if you're milking an animal, you go for the udders. You don't pull hair out and throw it in the bucket, too, you know? Like, ugh.
Yeah, you would probably shave the area around the nipple.
You would like to do that, wouldn't you?
I mean, I do that to myself.
You put it on your nipple.
And expect the same from my yaks.
Why don't you have your lovely wife do that for you?
Don't think I haven't tried.
It's... Honey, that's my nipple's getting hairy.
That's what marriage is for. The other person can shave your areas that you can't reach or don't want to reach.
don't care to reach. Man, that's why I'm going to die alone, because I have a hairy taint. Anyway.
Oh, man. Anyway.
That's my nickname in high school, was Hairy Taint.
Hairy Taint?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like, sounds like a person's name.
Yeah.
Hairy Taint.
Dr. Taint? Paging Dr. Taint? Harry
Dr. Taint. Dr. Taint to the emergency room.
Yes. Dr. Harry Taint, please.
Yeah, Dr. Taint, two guys stand up, like, which one? Dr. Harry Taint. Ah, okay.
I'm picturing, like, you know how Bart, like, talks with his ass sometimes? Picturing the ass.
Like the great Australia episode where he draws Nixon on his butt. I am not a butt.
Gonna be honest with you, I've never seen that episode.
Ooh, I'm gonna send that to you.
I was not watch it. I was not allowed to watch The Simpsons as a child.
What?
And I haven't recovered still.
That's blasphemy.
I know,
that's,
I know.
Like,
you and like
Simpsons is like the biggest influence on my life.
Wait, come again?
In every way.
Oh, it's like your life.
Yeah. So Sully and Mike want to get back to their life, like I'm sure anyone listening to this podcast does. So somehow Sully builds a sled in like 2 seconds out of spare parts.
Yeah, and then Mike Wazowski does not want to go.
He gives up.
He gets really mad, and then my wondering is, why does this girl matter so much? Like, and I wrote down this, I don't know if this example makes any sense. I'll read it anyway. It's like if you lost a dog and you stopped communicating with all your friends and family to go find it.
You're talking about Boo?
I'm talking about Boo.
Is the dog? Yeah. Yeah, he really does, like, say F off to his number one friend.
Yeah.
For this pet.
And then he terrorizes some poor Nepalese children.
Yeah, tears through their house, just like, apparently the Abominable Snowman says it's a 3-day hike into town, but he gets there in like 5 seconds.
Yeah, I feel like he gave up too quick, because he didn't even get it like 10 feet from the door before he just like settled, like, okay, I live here now, like he barely tried.
Well, he loves the life, just drinking the yak's milk, getting the hair out. So, Sully gets back, and he's on a mission to get Boo. I guess they're trying to strap Boo to that machine, but he somehow beat them to it.
Yeah, they had a lot of time. He, like, was on Earth overnight.
So he goes, rescues her at the last minute from this machine.
And then he puts the other guy in it.
Fungus?
Then you see what it does. It, like, sucks the color out of him.
Yeah, I really didn't like that. It makes his lips look like they got full of collagen.
Yeah. And then Randall finally uses his, like, superpowers to fight Mike.
To fight Sully, yeah. He starts, like, Sully. Strangling him. Yeah. He really is, like, about to kill him.
He's, like, and then they do a whole... I really like that bit where they do the whole, like, he can't see him thing, and they're talking, he doesn't get it, you know?
Yeah, because Mike shows up, which raises the question, really. So they get back, they find a door in this... in Nepal, and I guess that door is somewhere that's like quick access to the secret lair, but later they show that the doors are like racked up in some cavernous warehouse, so
yeah,
a little stretch of the imagination there, but We'll let it go. We'll let this one slide. That's one strike.
Yeah.
And then Mike shows up with a snowball still intact.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That's a, like, I don't understand the temperature situation, because he acted like he was cold sometimes, but then he held it in his hand and it didn't melt. I don't know if they have. I don't know. The whole thing.
Yeah.
And then Mike is, like, doing his whole, like, diatribe about how they should be friends and it's fine and don't be emotional. And then Boo gets it. Gets, like, all the gestures that Sully's making about how he's dying and stuff. And he doesn't. And it really bugged me that she was getting it, like, loud and clear, and he wasn't. I guess it was for the comedic moment, but still.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get to my favorite part of it, which I don't remember. I don't think this was ever a ride, but I don't know why they didn't make it a ride, because it seems like they were intentionally making the door scene to be a ride.
I wrote the same thing, yeah. Should be a ride.
Yeah. Like, how was it not a ride?
Mm-hmm. Now they're... What'd you say?
Did they make a Monsters, Inc. ride?
I don't know. I do not know. Probably. I think they did. Didn't they retrofit a... Oh, no, that was Lilo and Stitch.
I was just going to say that same thing, man.
They retrofit that alien encounter ride to be.
But they still kept, like, the weird creepy thing before the ride, though.
Yeah, I never rode it when it was the alien thing, but I rode it recently when it was the Lilo and Stitch thing, and it's, like, pretty lame now.
Well, like, the part before it, they had, like, a chamber where they would, like, transport a thing in between two tubes or something. I don't know, like, it was super creepy and, like, grody and stuff, and I really liked it.
Yeah, and they ruined it.
Yeah, now it's, like, gross, like, smell my fart, bray. It's like...
And, like, no one was riding it when I went. I think it's... They should just shut it down.
Because you're going to ride a ride to, what, smell fucking gross-ass, like, meatball burps or whatever he has during the thing.
But, yeah, this door thing should have been a ride or somehow, because they really present it like it's a roller coaster. They're even like, hold on, here we go. And then it's like,
it, like, looks like the Montu. Like, I don't know how it's not that.
Yeah, just make a ride where everyone has to hold on to a door for dear life as they fly around a warehouse.
That's, hey, I would totally do that. I would pay you to make me do that.
So they have their big, you know, finale where they race to find the door. Somehow they find the door out of, like, the millions that are available, but that's fine.
I just want to note that, like, they go through a bunch of doors around the world, and there's never any humans in it. It's just them.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think, I don't know, it was probably my favorite scene in the movie, like, the whole everything going on, everything was really interesting. And then I did notice, though, it's important to note, they did not close one of the doors, which is one of the cardinal rules.
Oh, which one? Do you remember?
It was, like...
The Paris one?
It might have been the Paris one, yeah. It was, like, the sideways one, yeah.
Yeah, because they fall into the Paris door.
Yeah.
Cause, which I thought that was pretty clever, because, like, the door's on the ground, I guess, and they fall into it in the monster life, and then they, like, come out sideways and...
Yeah, that was cool.
The human life.
That's, like, some portal shit.
And they didn't close it. Ooh.
You never know, man.
Yeah, it's out there somewhere. So they end up besting Randall, mostly because Boo finally stands up to him.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And then what do they do to him? They banish him?
No, they put him into the house from A Bug's Life.
Oh, that's right. He pops out into the mobile home with the, like, Yo truck.
Like, hey, Cletus, look, there's an alligator in the house.
Yeah, then I guess presumably they just beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, they set him up to be murdered, essentially.
So he gets his comeuppance.
Yeah.
And then they set up water noose in the little simulation zone so that he spills all the beans about the project or the whatever bullshit. And then the CDA comes in, and who's the top agent? Roz. She comes out wearing a little sweater thing with her saggy boobs hanging out. It really grossed me out. I think they really didn't need to animate that part of it.
And then she's like, don't worry about the paperwork for this one. Paperwork. And then... but they also, it's important to note that Boo saw, at that point she saw Sully be a monster guy. Was that that part?
Oh, that's right. So he, so they're back in the simulation zone.
Yeah.
And Water Noose is trying to get Sully to show, no, that was earlier.
Oh, well, I thought it was just important to note that she gets scared of him.
Yeah, I guess we kind of skipped over that part. That's how they get banished in the first place, right?
Yeah, how did I didn't write any notes about that. I don't know how I didn't.
This movie is too quick. You can't keep up.
It's good, man. Wait, let me see. Maybe I.
This is what happens when we try and go scene by scene.
Oh,
thanks, you know, a lot.
I did write that. I said, "Boo saw the bad man." That doesn't mean anything. That's why I didn't realize it.
Yeah, I have a lot of notes in here that make no sense. But I have a note here. It's a quote. It says, "Tough kids, sissy kids, kids who play with rocks."
What is that? Is that from the movie?
It's in quotes, so it must have been said in the movie, but I really don't remember. I think Water News says it.
I don't know. I wrote also... It's funny that they made Billy Crystal a Jewish monster. They made him Mike Wazowski. like they didn't have to do that. John Goodman's was something Sullivan, so it's not like...
Yeah. Irish, I guess?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I don't know what Goodman is, but it's... It's
it could be Irish, I guess, but...
It's cool as
fuck.
Definitely
not the same connotation.
Also, I wrote down... Did Boo parents miss her for like 2 weeks? Because she was gone like forever. They should have a search party out for her, like freaking out. But no, she just went to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, back to sleep. She was fine. In her room full of Pixar stuff.
And then...
Full of references. And then...
Mike had to say... Not Mike. God damn, I keep doing this. John Goodman had to say goodbye to Boo.
So sad.
But they definitely... They nailed like how kids are with like they're bringing them toys and like not getting social cues and stuff.
Yeah, they get to back to her room and she immediately starts playing and like handing them toys. And yeah, that's exactly what kids do.
Yeah,
they know kids at Pixar.
They, it's true. I guess that's their job.
And then to wrap it up, they changed the whole system. So that they're now mining laughs instead of screams.
Yeah.
And the guys, the scarers, are now helping out their little buddies who are now, I guess... Oh, no, just Mike is the funny one. But some of the other guys, the scarers, just transition into comedians, I guess.
Yeah, and then but then Mike is... but also he does, like, stand up. But the kid, like, does not understand it at all because he wouldn't...
And yeah, no it's kid, like weird jokes.
No kid would ever be that patient. Ever.
Yeah, like you'd be freaked out. See his one eyed creep hanging in your room?
With a stool and a microphone.
And then they only laugh when he like burps out the microphone.
Yeah, because kids are dumb.
The kid loves it. Like doesn't stop laughing.
Yeah, he's like freaking out. Yeah.
Also, they use like the same weird like model for the kids. Other than Boo. And all the kids look like they're like 13.
Yeah, they're all like super old except Boo's like a little kid. Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
And then they have a Gallagher reference because one of the guys walks by with a watermelon and a hammer.
Yeah, the big furry George Anderson, right?
Yeah, I think that's him. And then...
But I...
Go for it.
What? Well, I just said, I noted that they're also still on the eastern seaboard at the end of it, too.
I guess they started the cycle.
That's all they focus on.
It's like a snake draft where you start at the part you ended on, you know?
Yeah.
Well, we forgot to say that after he put Boo back in the door, they had to shred it through the weird, like, paper shredder-esque thing.
Oh, yeah, they shred the door, but Sully keeps a piece of it.
Yeah. And then like, cries over it and stuff, like a bitch.
Yeah, he keeps it on him, on his little clipboard with, like, a picture of that Boo drew of him, I think.
Yeah, he's like a big monster guy, come on.
Big softy. He's a softy.
Just like John Goodman.
Yeah. They match the actors well.
Well, how'd you feel about... Well, okay, so then Mike is like, I got a surprise for you, dude. And they bring him in a room, and it turns out he found all the pieces. It took him one entire year to put together the shreds of this door.
Did he say that?
Yeah, he said it took him a year.
Oh, man.
And then all he needed was that one piece. I don't know what was holding the pieces together.
You need every piece.
Doors are magic in this universe. I just accept that.
Yeah, I mean, he shows him the door, and it looks like it's missing a lot of pieces.
Yeah,
it looks like small fragments.
A shitty door. It's
yeah, it's just, I guess only the big pieces matter. And then he has the door again, and then I guess he can access Boo. But that's kind of weird.
Don't say it like that.
he gains access to her entryway.
I feel like if he opened the door, it would have just shattered into like all these wooden pieces. If you like touch it.
Yeah, and then I guess that doesn't have an effect on the real life door.
I guess not, yeah.
Because that'd be weird if her door just like just busted up right there.
Just turned to rubble. Yeah, but then how'd you feel about, because he's like, hey, Boo, and she's like, kitty. But how'd you feel about the fact that you don't get to see Boo?
Well, I guess it was supposed to be a year later.
Yeah.
So maybe they just didn't feel like trying to animate her as older.
I guess a money-saving thing.
Yeah, but also it's just kind of weird for him to go back. Because she's a year older now and probably would have forgotten about him.
And for maybe being honest. Through, like, therapy of like her parents being like, you don't have a kitty in your closet. What the fuck are you talking about? And also, she probably should have developed some, like, voice, like, some speech skills, but as I muddle my words. Sorry, my alarm just went off on my phone.
Yeah, time to go.
No, never. You can't make me. And I don't know what the fuck I was saying. That really threw me off.
Well, there's the best part left. And that's the closing song.
Okay.
Because it's not sung by Randy Newman. I thought you'd be so happy about that.
I wrote, John Goodman is good at singing. Randy Newman is not.
Simple as that. Yeah, pretty good. The closing song.
I don't even remember what the words were. I just was happy it wasn't him.
Something like, you got a friend in me, I don't know.
It was, I remember it being strikingly similar, like
you got a bud in me.
Maybe you got a bud with me, maybe like that, like.
Yeah, do you have any other notes, or do you want to just do some plugs?
Well, next week is going to be Finding Nemo.
Dang, Nemo.
One of the big ones. I think everyone's probably on Earth has seen that movie. We're going to attempt to work out some deals on a guest.
Ooh.
A surprise guest. Surprise, because you don't know anyone we know, so it's going to be a surprise for everyone. But we're trying to work it out.
Yeah. We'll try to work it out. It's, you know, a dear friend of ours who claims Finding Nemo is her favorite movie.
Yes. I've watched it with
her. All the movies.
A couple times. I'm pretty sure I passed out on all of them, but We have watched them several times.
So we're going to try and work that out.
It was like a good after trip watch, you know, like after like a big event, a big canoe trip or a camping trip. You just go home, put on Find Nemo, fall nice asleep.
Really? I feel like I haven't tried that, so I'll have to try that.
Yeah, man. It's trying to think of what other movies really put me to sleep.
I guess it's a good travel movie. Like they travel a lot across the lands.
Not like
the seas.
Not like a good movie to watch while you're traveling. Not like that.
Yeah, while you're driving, you should watch Finding Nemo.
It's how that like Tesla guy died, man. Come on.
Tesla died? Nikola Tesla?
No. Yeah. Nikola Tesla did. He has died. I hate to break it to you. No, some guy was he was watching a movie on his Tesla when he was like on autopilot, and then he got hit by a truck because he wasn't paying attention.
Was it Finding Nemo? We need to know this.
It, you know, if it was Finding Nemo, I think we'll definitely get to the bottom of it. I mean, there's several movies I wish I would get hit by a truck while I was watching.
Damn.
Yeah. I can't think of a good one to really rail on, but...
Cars? That'd be appropriate.
I've never seen Cars. I don't know if that's sacrilege to say on this website. On this website. This, I don't know what I'm saying anymore. It's too late. I have
this endeavor. It is kind of late. So we can wrap it up.
Oh, it's all the caffeine in my system, probably.
Need more no-dose. you can follow. I'm going to post this one on SoundCloud.
Okay.
SoundCloud.com/*R. But then going forward, I think all podcasts will be part of a larger conglomeration called Hard Men to Please.
Yes.
HardMenToPlease.com is a website. It's active right now, and it's hosting its own podcasts, and ours are going to be absorbed by it, similar to how Pixar was absorbed by Disney.
What is that podcast like? Can you who's hosting that podcast?
Well, there's a couple lovely gentlemen.
Oh.
I am one of them.
Oh.
The other one happens to be my brother.
Okay.
We talk about movies. Unfortunately, none of them are Pixar movies.
Well, that's because they don't overlap our content.
Yeah, there's no content overlap. We're very much in our own corners.
I have to listen to
that. That was a pretty good podcast. I would say you should listen to it.
I like the one so far that I've listened to. Not... Because we're in this together, but because I actually liked them.
Which one? Do you remember what the content was?
It was one with the Warriors.
Oh, okay. That was like one of the earlier ones we've done. That was probably one of the best ones.
I mean,
I think that one and the most recent one are probably our best one.
I guess we should also plug the Twitter account for this, which is *R*, which I still can't pronounce. *R*.
That's a good idea to spell it.
Yes. That's soundcloud.com/ that word I just spelt. I can't pronounce it, so I'm not going to try.
*R*. *R*.
It's like Rodrigo. Let's not start that again. God damn it. Anyway, my Twitter is @Cuji. That's Cuji. With a @ in front of it. I don't know. My tweets are really dumb and I'm not very active on it, but you know, check it out.
Yeah. None of these accounts are active.
Well, the *R* will get working on, and then also
yeah, we need to be more active.
I think I'm gonna start an Instagram with this title as well, which will hopefully be @*, or I'll get back to you with that.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, so you can post pictures of us recording and how ridiculous we look. Well, me.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Probably look great.
Yeah, that picture, I looked at it. It's great. I need to post that somewhere.
You know, I got another one. I just took it. I wanted to include my Wu-Tang shirt in it.
There you go. I'll put these on the Twitter.
You can put it on the Twitter? Okay.
My Twitter is Super Rap Attack, if anyone cares.
I'm not very active, though. Yeah, give me the password to the Twitter account so I can actually use it, please.
Oh, yeah, you got to take charge because I'm slacking.
I could tweet on it. Once I get my phone, is at is an hour away at my mother's house. My
It's waiting for you.
Motorola fixed it, hopefully. They didn't really say anything. They just literally sent it and said, hey, your phone's going to arrive in a couple of days. They never said what the status was, if they fixed it, if it was ever broken. They never really said anything, so... I'm going to drive an hour there, an hour back to get a phone that might not work. I don't know. So once I get that, I'll definitely be more active because I'll have something in my hand to use.
Yeah. And then it'll be worth following.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it already is. if at all...
No, it is. Right now. Right now.
If our voices bring you joy in any way, shape, or form, then you'll enjoy our other means of communication.
I think that's a beautiful way to wrap it up. Put a bow on it. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks a lot.
See you next time.
Later. Something really loud.